Welcome to the Scare Trap Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of ScareTrack, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
That's the loudest I've heard. Very long time.
Quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is a movie review episode in collaboration with UK Haunters. Myself and Dan from UK Haunters delve into the world of 2018's horror haunt film Hellfest. So if you haven't seen it yet, please be aware there will be heavy spoilers in this episode. We have already done a mini movie review over on our YouTube channel. You can check that out now, youtube.com/ScareTrack. Be sure to give us a subscribe and click that bell notification so you are notified for each and every ScareCam video we do over on our YouTube channel. I gave it a quick instant review. I'm going to be honest, I was maybe a little bit too harsh on it. Since chatting to Dan here on this episode, I think I've found a little bit of a new love for it. I think I was just getting too angry with those really annoying teenagers. But in fairness, the bad guy did us all a favour because he kills them all. Like I say, spoilers ahead. So without any further ado, it's myself and Dan from UK Haunters talking all things Hellfest.
You're listening to ScareTrap.
Hi guys and welcome back to this episode of the ScareTrap Podcast. Like I mentioned in the intro, it's another movie review, which means that we are joined once again by Dan Brownlee. Dan, how's it going, buddy?
All good, man. All good.
Awesome. Great to have you on. And we've just not long recorded an episode about UK Haunters, which is going to be available for streaming and to purchase on DVD at the end of September this year, 2020. So, first of all, congratulations on that.
Yeah, cheers, man.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Really excited for... I've already seen it, which is awesome. I really enjoyed it, so I'm looking forward to the rest of the world being able to see it, especially all you listeners listening now. It's definitely worth a watch as soon as it's available. But check out our latest episode. We had a mini episode talking all about that and how you'll be able to see it as soon as we know when it's released. So it's another movie review episode, and the guy that knows the movies far better than me is, of course, Dan, which is why he's joining us once again. I did do a mini movie review for this episode over on our YouTube channel. You can check that out, youtube.com/ScareTrack. And today's episode, as you may have seen, is all about Hellfest. And Hellfest, I think we might get into some arguments on this one, Dan, because although I know it's a good film, but you, I think I was a little bit maybe too negative in my instant review. And you were then messaging me going, dude, what the fuck? It's one of my favourite like haunt films. What's going on? So to give everyone a little bit of context, we, myself and Dan, are going to be reviewing the sub-genre of haunt-style horror films. Dan noticed a little while ago that it has become its own sub-genre of escape rooms and haunted house-style horror films. So we've done Haunt, which I thoroughly enjoyed, but now it's time to get onto Hellfest. It's 2018, and I think we should just kick straight in with it. Why do you love it so much, Dan? Why is it one of your faves?
Because it's awesome.
Okay, done. Thanks for listening to the Scare Trap Podcast.
End of episode. my word is law. We are done. No, it's... I don't speak from any point of authority of knowing the entire history of haunt films. I just really love them. But to me, from my point of view, I think and I feel that when Hellfest came out, haunt horror officially became a subgenre of horror.
Yeah, no, that's a fair comment, now, actually. That's a fair comment.
There have been a lot before. Ghoulies 2 had the whole trope of, oh, they're in the fairgrounds, so everyone thinks animatronics, no one thinks it's real. You've got amazing ones like Funhouse Massacre, where the lunatics go in and take over and everything's its part. Now, a lot of films have based their premise on the trope. No film as of yet has done it quite as in-depth as Hellfest. No one's used haunt culture to the degree that Hellfest did. And I've watched it so many goddamn times. it took me 3 watches just to go, to get why he's killing people. Or no, not to get why, to get how he's picking people. And I was like, oh my God, that's brilliant. And then the rest of the film kind of unraveled to me. I was like, oh my God, I loved it before. Now this is amazing.
Yeah. No, I get that, definitely. And before we go any further, quick disclaimer, there may be huge spoilers here.
Unfortunately, a lot of my points are spoiler-based.
Yeah. So guys, we suggest you watch it first. If you have Netflix here in the UK, it's on there for free now. I think it's even on Sky as well. I'm not too sure. But check all your streaming services. Check whatever you can. And Hellfest is available worldwide quite easily. It's not a hard one to get your hands on. So check it out if you haven't already. And then come back to this episode and see who you agree with more, me or Dan. in fairness, I think we both agree on saying things. I think I just let the annoying teenagers bug me too much. I think that's the only thing that sort of annoyed me. But like you say, that's kind of the reason.
That's the point.
Yeah. But people might get that all mixed up. People might be thinking, like, I don't know about you, but I'm on the side of the killer, which I don't think we should be.
Because do you know what? Because this is something that you should, I really should wait till way down the podcast to mention to blow everyone's mind. It's like a Willy Wonka of the slasher film.
Okay.
They've all been given the opportunity to go to this perfect haunt park, and each of them cock up. Each of them do something. And this is where the real genius is. Only haunt fans will realise how these people are fucking up.
Yes.
Why they deserve to die. Right, you've got... Oh, I even wrote down the names of the people in my... where are the names of them? Oh, bugger, I've lost the names list. But essentially, they all do something completely against haunt etiquette. Yes. For instance, a killer picks people, go, no, you're not scary, then piss off. Get out of our park and don't kill our vibe. We're here to lose ourselves and get involved, not to prove that the haunt actors aren't good enough. That's how he picks people. Massive strike against them. Get those people out of there. You've got the couple who keep them taking photos and selfies in the haunts. You don't do that. You've got the other guy. You've got people trying to steal props. You don't do that. The guy tried to... One of the guys got his head hammered. He went and stole something he couldn't win. Don't do that. They're all... I mean, that's a bit more of an obvious one, but the rest of them, they're all haunt tropes, which haunt fans will understand more than anyone.
Yes.
So haunt fans will go, yeah, fuck them. They deserve to die. You should. Why are you taking selfies? Why are you telling the actors they're not scary? Why are you winding them up like that? It's not what they're there for.
Yeah, I see what you mean. And which is why I probably did get caught up on that a little bit too much. Because I suppose the general viewer, and likewise, me and you are slightly different because we love the haunted industry so much, which is why, like you say, it's the haunters or people who enjoy the scare attraction industry will watch this film different to the average horror watcher or just the average film watcher. But usually you want to be on the protagonist's side to be able to get away from the slasher, and we don't want the slasher to be able to kill anyone or run away from him. Whereas really in this film, because like you say, because we are haunt fans, we're actually on the side of the killer, which kind of changes the dynamic of watching a horror film, I guess. But it does work in that respect, because you're right. And this is what I don't want to say I criticised the film on it. I just watched it and then I do literally a quick 5-minute instant thought straight away. And it wasn't a critique of the film as such. It was just an observation of these kids, these annoying teenagers. And it's going to make me sound like an old man, but they were really annoying. And like you say, like the character of Taylor, who's played by Bex Taylor-Klaus, like, she played it perfectly, but she was so annoying. And she was the one that got her head chopped off on the guillotine. Mm-hmm. and which is an awesome scene. I think we need to talk about it in a sec. But they were just, like you say, annoying teenagers who would go through the horn, and straight away they were like, you're not scary, you're not going to get me. And they were pointing out where the jump scares were.
Yeah, look, that's another good thing. I was going to get a bit late, but I watched a lot of interviews with the director, and the director actually rewrote a lot of this, a hell of a lot of it. And he's a huge Haunt fan. So a lot of the times people are pointing stuff out. It's, again, because he's a Haunt fan. It's almost like the documentary I did of like pointing stuff out. So it's quite interesting as well.
Yeah.
And it's not bad that they pointed, that they knew it. What was bad, they're being a dick about it. Oh, look, you're there. Sort of thing. That's what made them. If they sort of went whispered, oh, look, he's there. They were kind of liking it and appreciating it. The fact is they weren't liking and appreciating it. But again, it was using very, very in-depth Haunt things. Like at the end, when they're, again, spoilers, you were warned, when they're trying to outrun the killer, they use the fact that there are tripwires to trap the killer. You know what I mean? It was so much Haunt was in this.
Yes.
So much.
Yeah, it was. And that's what I really liked about the film, in fairness, was talking about there being so much Haunt in it. It is one of those films, I think more so than any other Haunt subgenre film I've seen so far anyway. The sets and the actual whole event in itself, as Hellfest in itself, just looked awesome. Like, it was huge. It was had rides, it had loads of different Haunts, it had loads of roaming characters, the lighting, the sounds, that everything about it just looked like an like, take the killer aside, say I'm going to go there and I know there's no killer, it would be my number one to go, you know, to visit during October.
Yeah. I mean, I was watching it last night in prep, and I turned to Jess and went, I want to be there. Yeah, I just want to be there.
Yeah.
I won't be a dick. I'll be scared. I love getting scared, so he won't kill me. I'll be fine.
yeah. In fairness, he'd be doing us a favour because he'd be killing the people that annoy me and you.
It's quite funny. Jess actually made a comment on the people. She said that they're the perfect encapsulation of millennials.
Yes.
100%. Of entitled millennials.
Yeah. And that, and a few of those these sort of subgenre films, well, in fairness, lots of horrors do follow those sort of millennials, but, well, the teenagers and whatnot. But as the years have gone on and people become more, they want instant gratification and things like that, and, you know, the Instagrammers and whatnot. And I can talk, I'm addicted to it. But, It does put it into perspective of this is, they're really annoying millennials, and this killer, who should be the bad guy, really is just doing everyone a big favour, really. Yeah. And again, very big spoilers. We're sort of going a little bit backwards here as such, but it is a point to make. Towards the end of the film, when he puts up his mask, we find that he has other masks, and it's just what he seems to do on Halloween. That's his thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, the opening of the film is referenced throughout the film. Mm. And when they reference it throughout the film, is it Orange Grove, the first one?
Yeah.
When they go into the Haunt, they say, oh, it happened a couple of years ago in Orange Grove.
Yeah, different
place.
And
then when the news report, they say, oh, like the killings in Orange Grove a couple of years ago. So you're not sure if it's every year he does it, or maybe he just does it in such different places no one knows. And also you don't know where Orange Grove is.
True.
He could have driven across state for that.
Yes. Also, this is classed as a travelling haunt. Well, it's a travelling haunt. So, although I sort of criticised that a little bit in my mini instant review, like, this is a big place if it's travelling. And don't get me wrong, there's huge travelling fun fairs out there. But if it's solely a haunt just for Halloween, it could be a case that this particular haunt travels to different states each year, and he just follows this one round. I don't know.
I think it's not the same. It's not Hellfest every year that he goes to.
No.
So, that's a good thing. One of the things I like about it is what a lot of horror films do. They just plonk horror in middle America and give things general middle American names, which is what to the American, I mean, to us, it doesn't matter, it's in bloody England. But to America, you've got the outskirts and the rest of it's the middle. So it then makes it more relatable.
Yeah,
And because it's kind of like, oh, Orange Grove, it's actually bloody anywhere. So you're like, oh my God, where can that could have been your place? It could have been next door. Mm. Or it could have been states away. You just don't know.
We don't know, definitely. And it's also fun that the only thing we know about this sort of killer is the fact that he seems to live at home, just him and his daughter, potentially. Yeah. And he could just be a normal guy like you and me. But rather than, I don't know, if we bumped into those people at a haunt, I'd probably say, guys, get off your phone, stop being a dick, or why don't you shut up and enjoy it? Whereas he's kind of doing the same, but with a... with an ice pick and killing him. So
it's actually quite funny. And I was listening to an interview with the director, who was saying the influence between the killer, who's referred to as the other, is his official name.
Okay.
It was spawned through internet trolls.
Right. Okay.
And as a filmmaker, and you know, I'm not the greatest director in the world, but I think I do a fair job in a couple of my films. The reviews I've got from my stuff, this. Expletive, has no expletive idea what he's doing, blah, 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 blah. And he said, these people will rip your work to shit. And then they'll get off their computer and they'll go and be nice to their friends and family. And he said that really fascinated him. The fact that people can be so venomous, they need to be venomous and evil.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they're out of that zone, they go back and they make down the pub sort of thing. See, that's really where the idea for the killer came from.
That's smart, actually. Yeah, definitely. He's someone who's... because that's what these people are. They are just trolls, really, going through the haunt. They're like, that shit, that's not scary, that's not... Mm. He's actually going, well, there's, you know, repercussions for that.
The inspired killer is killing the real, like, the trolls.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, which is cool. It's smart as well. I'm going towards the end here. I don't know why I keep going towards this end scene, but he has different types of masks that he just hangs up in his little... his shed or garage or whatever, but what he chose for Hellfest, he must have chose the mask on purpose, because there were actually other actors wearing his mask, which made for it just made for better viewing, didn't it? It made for some certain scenes being a lot more intense, because you weren't sure where the real killer was. You just know him because he had a scuffed shoe, which is why the audience could relate to who the character was. But again, that can, depending on how deep you want to delve into this, it could show that he's been to the haunt before, that he knows what sort of masks they use. You know, the States, a lot of attractions are very heavy on masks, and there's only so many places they get them from, whether it be, you know, a vendor at Transworld and whatnot. So, you know, if he's going to Hellfest, he knows he's got to wear that kind of mask. If he's going to another place that has a circus maze, there's a good chance he could wear a clown mask next year. Yeah. You know, so it gave another sort of element to this killer who, although we don't know loads about him, we know his motive. We know that it seems like he's done it before, and it seems like he's just going to go and do it again, which could, you know, could hopefully mean a second film. Who knows?
Yeah, I was listening to the director who's doing the interview before the film came out, and he said there was plans of a sequel and a prequel.
Right.
And I was just like, it's not going to happen, is it?
If he says there were plans, unless, how far did those plans go, you know?
I don't know how well this did. I know I loved it, but I'm not sure how nuts it went. But I'm presuming maybe if it didn't make the billions they want to justify a seat. Because people go nuts on franchises. If this did Halloween well, then you'd have had a second one by now.
Oh,
easily.
Yeah. You'd have five or six within 10 years. Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, maybe the world wasn't ready for it right then. Maybe, you know, this will be looked back on and we'll get one... If the haunt horror thing gets bigger and bigger and bigger, which I'm hoping it will, because after this, you've got Haunt, which I think is the next big one.
Yeah.
I don't mean to piss on them. There's been a lot of it, but also like Escape Room. The super high budget Escape Room, not my favourite Escape Room, which is also called Escape Room, which makes it very confusing. There's another one in the middle.
There's three of them, isn't there? Which makes no sense. But I know what you mean. There seems like when it comes to the Hellfest, you can tell had, you know, a decent budget and lots of money went into it and lots of thought, and lots of these films don't even get a cinematic release. And I think this one did in the States. So like you say, it might have been too early for it, but there's definitely scope there for more to come of it, definitely.
Oh God! So I mean, it's just the thing is what I like about the kid. He's kind of like the Michael Myers of the Horn Killers.
Mm, yeah.
I think if I was going to do the lazy thing of slapping old films to make this one seem more popular to people, I would say Haunt is a Texas Chainsaw Massacre of Haunt films.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd say this is a Halloween of Haunt films. He's very, very Michael Myers in style of Kinnett. Strong,
yes.
Silent, terrifying, without having to do much.
Yeah.
Again, obviously, because he's wearing mask on Halloween, Michael Myers does, he does, they can kind of wander around with immunity.
Yes.
And
yes.
Just pick people off as and when.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. It is a very Michael Myers-esque sort of killer. And his choice of weapon as well seemed to be more so opportunistic rather than him going, right, this is what I'm going to use. Because there's security there. He didn't actually take anything in. He decided to... He looked around to see what he could use. And,
yeah.
And you know, I'm sure there's things that if I looked hard enough I went to a farm park, I could... to Tully's Shocktoberfest or Burton Screen Fest, there's probably something I could find. He found an ice pick from a vendor?
It was an ice pick, yeah.
Which to me, I mean, questionable. I'm not sure. I haven't seen any.
Yeah, dude, some shit you've just got to let slide.
you got to let it go just to get a little bit of blood in there. But what I did like is that he didn't... It's not like he has his weapon of choice of, right, I'm going to sneak this in my shoe, I'm going to sneak this in. It's just, he went in, he was like, right, what the fuck can I use to kill these bastards? And he went for that. And a fair play, because it worked.
Is that the same as I compare it to Michael Myers? I was listening to an interview with, was it John Carpenter? It's one of the big ones. I've seen so goddamn many. But anyway, he was saying that Michael Myers, and it kind of changed the way I look, it was quite interesting. He said, he's actually a very playful killer.
Right.
Like, as stoic as he is, he's got a sense of humour about him. Like, the guy, he stabbed to the wall and then looked at it like he appreciated what he did. The fact that even in the first one, so this isn't even going, oh, well, they started messing around it by this one. In the first one, he puts a sheet over his head and the glasses. He's actually having a laugh.
Yeah.
Now, he's not joking up and laughing and hee-hee-hee, but inwardly, he's having a laugh. He's quite playful and adventurous. And again, that's like the Hellfest guy. So he's gone in there, I'm going to murk a couple of people. Don't know how I'm going to do it, but, you know, like the guy with the thing. All it is, a hammer. I'll back him into the strongman belt thing. I don't know what it's called, and hit him there. So he's got a sense of play about him, which is very interesting. He's not just going in, stab, stab, running away, doing it. He's playing.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a very cat and mouse thing.
Yes, definitely. It's same with when he went into, it was one of the rooms in one of the haunts in the latter half of the film. I think he used a syringe to kill someone. Pierce his eyeball and whatnot with the syringe. So,
and if memory serves me correctly, that is a guy who what he did wrong was try to steal the syringe from the haunt, the haunt playing the dead girl. He tried to steal the syringe from her, and that's what made him jump. That was his main crime, and he died by a syringe in the eye.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of
karma.
Poetry.
Yeah, poetry in motion, definitely. It's got some good scenes of death in there, some good, like you say, he's sort of having fun with doing it. I think if you were to try and get into his head, you'd be thinking he's going in there to do a duty, but he's going to do it his own way and he's going to enjoy it whilst doing it. And he leaves the park thinking, awesome, I've just managed to kill a few people who are ruining it for other people. Maybe we need some of those here. I don't know, but what I did like, I think, is quite a key scene is the sort of ghost train ride.
I have a fun fact about that.
Oh, go! Yeah, love it.
The other,
yeah,
was played by the director in that scene.
Okay,
and that scene, it was a Nightbumps ride, was the not roller coaster, the dark ride. They go from one place to the other. It was actually, that was another thing. Now, I was actually going to track down the original script to see what had been cut out. Because genuinely, some bugger gets their hands in it and cuts out all good ideas. Till when I was listening to the director, he actually, sidetracking a little bit, okay. But essentially, he completely wrote the script. Now, when he was offered the film, he refused it. He went into the offices and went, right, I'm refusing this, but here's my notes. if you want me to do it, this is what has to change.
Right.
And he buggered off, and they called him and come straight back. We want you to do it. We love your notes. So a lot of these scenes he actually wrote himself. Nice. Apparently he's a huge Halloween Horror Night fan as well. But the night bump scene was actually from a personal experience when he was in Harry Potter Land. Oh, what was the one in
Forbidden
Diagon Alley, in the Forbidden Journey ride in Universal, and he was going through. It's that one which kind of takes you on like one of those roller coasters which move and you go into different sections of the building.
Yeah,
and it broke down in the Forbidden Forest.
Oh, okay.
And he just stuck there, and he said, I was there with my two kids, and they found it hilarious, but I started having a panic attack.
Right.
And he said, I had to just, you know, check my phone and look for stuff and find inspiration to get me out of this. And that's when he came up with that night bump scene.
Smart. Makes sense. Because it is one of those, like, if you are on a ride, it all depends what kind of, you know, how much you enjoy either roller coasters or dark rides or things like that. But if you were there, even if you didn't think there was a killer, it can, if it stops and there's a emergency light and people saying, keep still, the ride will move momentarily. You know, some people like me, I'd love to have that. It's, you know, that's the geekiness inside me. But the vast majority of people will be shitting themselves, having panic attacks, scared.
You what, I constantly dream of that happening in the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
I would love a walk-off through that ride. Oh, sweet Jesus. Mm-hmm. That would be amazing. But someone like... I've been on that Harry Potter ride, Forbidden Forest ride, quite a lot. Jess is going to get angry at me because I'm getting the name wrong all the time.
Forbidden Journey.
It's very disorientating because it's an arm roller coaster.
Yeah.
And it takes you all over the place. So I can imagine it breaking down there. You're kind of in the middle of the air.
Yeah,
you don't know
definitely.
What up and down is, and you don't know how high up you are. So I can appreciate that being a little bit. Because if you're on the top of the roller coaster, you're just sat there, you're like, oh, I'm on the top of the roller coaster. There's the stairs. You can ration it.
Yeah.
But when you kind of like half turn in the middle of the air somewhere, it's a bit more like, I have no control, no idea,
definitely.
And my brain can't piece what's happening.
Yeah. Especially in that ride as well. Right. Mm. You have no idea, definitely. And don't get me wrong, the ride system is fucking beautiful. I love it. And it's amazing. But yeah, that is something that would make people go, shit, what the hell? And to put that into, that's quite a good idea to put that into the film. And then us knowing that there is a killer potentially in there as well, that just adds up the sort of the scare factor, really, doesn't it? You're just on the edge of your seat thinking, is this just a ride that's broke down, or is he going to be able to kill it in the ride?
Yeah,
it turns out it was a sort of a false ending, really, because it could have been a case of he got in the ride and she comes out with her head chopped off or whatnot, which I think would have worked with a lesser known character maybe, but she was like the main girl, so it made sense.
But the thing is, a lot of his kills he can hide.
Because it's in a haunt, again, yeah?
Yeah, because then, which again, it's amazing about it. Like, the girl he stabs in front of them, they all think it's part of the show. And that's the other thing is, it's what I like about it. The reason why he got away with it is because the girl's sitting there going, no, I'm not going to react.
Yeah.
So, fuck you. Where if she'd actually reacted like a, you know, I don't know, how would you react in the haunt? But it's kind of interesting that she watched this girl die because she's being a stroppy shit.
Yeah.
She goes, kill her. She doesn't even say, do it.
Yeah.
Kill her.
Egging him on.
The guy's like,
definitely. And that sort of continues throughout the film a little bit, doesn't it? Like, sometimes they see these kills and they're like, ha, that's funny. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that looks good. That looks so good. Or, again, and I suppose even if me and you went through a haunt and we saw someone killing someone, if it was a good enough actor and we'd probably go, that looked awesome, but it could be real. That's what's scary about it. And that's what I think these haunt subgenre films are quite scary. When we were speaking about haunt, that made me really quite nervous to go into a haunt again, because it sort of makes you think, like, what if there is someone
like
going to kill me?
On our episode when I talked about Dark Horizons, remember that one?
Yeah.
Where was that guy in... Guy, sorry for being immediately sexist, person in a black... entire black cover, like a black sheet with arms and these big horns, and you couldn't see anything. And literally, I was at the back and we all walked past, he didn't do anything. And then we went up the stairs, he didn't do anything. And I poked my head round, and then the person just turned their head to face me and just started following me 6 feet behind and completely spun me out.
Mm.
So that's the thing, these horn things, I even referred to it in the podcast we did as he hell-fested me.
Yeah.
Because he actually made me believe that there could be something wrong with this person. I don't know who he or she is. Yeah. You know,
scary.
They could have had a bad day. This could be their snapping point, and I'm the poor bugger who gets it.
Definitely. You just don't know, do you? Which is not the sort of vibe we want to be given to these new listeners now. we suggest you still go to haunted attractions when they open. But
that's what makes them so good. Yes. It gives you that extra bit of fear.
Yeah. Yeah, and then when you come out, it's that release of adrenaline. It's like, yes, that was fun, that was scary. At one point, I thought I might have actually died, but it was all okay when I came out.
I'd like to say that if anyone does go into a haunt and dies because there's a killer in there, because they listen to his advice, me and Mikey legally have no responsibility.
Zero. Absolutely zero. They don't listen to anything I say, really, anyway. Okay, so it's cool. talking about that sort of ghost train area, that's a cool story that the sort of director, that he wrote that into it because of his own personal experience. But what I liked about that section is that it sort of progressed the film into a darker section as such. They started off in a very, very festival style event, which was all lots of roaming characters, lots of laughs, lots of jokes, lots of haunted houses and music and whatnot. And then that was that ride was the form of transport to take you to the Deadlands, which is an area of the park where in the houses they can touch you, which I thought was pretty cool. Again, you might have hit the nail on the head saying that maybe this film was, it's before its time, maybe we're not ready for it, it's a bit too early, because you know, scare attractions and haunted houses, yes, in certain areas you might know of Orton Tower Scare Fest or Halloween Horror Nights in Universal, but for quite a number of people, they're still not quite understand what these things are and what they do.
Yeah.
So to have another thing that's a little bit more foreign to them, to think, hang on, there's places in these houses where people can touch you, well, you know, the general film goer might just go, well, that's obviously not real, whereas likes of me and you were like, no, that shit is real. So that I enjoyed the fact that they, although they didn't explore it heavily because obviously we're more concerned that there's a killer on the loose, it was cool that they still injected a little bit of that into the film. The fact that they are going to an area where these mazes are a little bit more intense, more extreme, because they can touch you. So I like that element of it.
And it was shown quite nicely right away where someone just picks up the most annoying one and pegs it with
us. Yes, yeah, definitely. Again, it's just sort of, it added an extra element of, oh my God, that there's now actual actors who are going to be doing, not killing people, but crazy shit. They're going to pick her up, they're going to take her, they could do anything. And it also may let us go into the final haunted house, which was, if I'm looking at it from just a aesthetic point of view, from a scenography point of view, it looked awesome. And that's probably a key theme throughout this whole film, because nothing looked cheap, nothing looked flat packed, everything looked like a proper quality haunt and a proper quality event, I'd say.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was all sets, and he had a budget, so...
So it's going to look good.
And the guy was a haunt fan, he had the budget, a decent budget, and the freedom to do it, so yeah, man, he lucked out on that one.
Definitely, it all worked well. And the killer, I mean... The killer gets, again, spoilers, the killer gets away. So like we said earlier, it does open it up for more films, potentially. Another key scene of mine that I really enjoyed was the sort of guillotine scene, because they had a stage show, which was cool, because, you know, some haunts, over time, I've noticed more haunts have, like, central hubs and stage shows, whether it be bands or magicians or, you know, Circus of Horrors at Torres Farm and whatnot. And they had a guillotine scene, and the whole trick worked. It wasn't until...
Fun fact.
Oh, go on, another fun fact from Dan.
Cranked the guillotine.
Sorry?
Fun fact, the director's hand was a hand that cranks the guillotine.
Oh, nice, there we go. Another nugget of information there. A bit of trivia. Dan, you're just like an encyclopedia for these sort of films, aren't you, really?
This is why DVDs and Blu-rays will never go out, because it's all the special features.
Yes.
I love them.
Yeah, the extra bits.
Absolutely love them. I love finding all these little bits and pieces out.
Definitely. It's a bit like I'm a bugger for YouTube sometimes, because I can go to the cinema and watch, I don't know, off the top of my head, I went to the cinema and I watched Rise of Skywalker, Star Wars, recently. And I was like, that was awesome, but let's find absolutely everything else I can find out about it. What was the first rewrite, right? Why wasn't Matt Smith in it? Why was Palpatine in when they said they weren't going to be? Why? So, I mean, and then you go onto YouTube, you're looking for different things. So, yeah, you're just the same with these haunts, haunt-style films. You know your shit, which is good. But I think that was the main sort of key points for me, is the fact that visually it was impressive. There's some really cool scenes, like I say, with the ghost train and the stage show. Are there any points in the film that you want to have a key mention for? Anything that really shouted out for you?
I did like, which is odd, because it was not in the haunt. It was there's one thing that Dr. Reed wanted to do, which I quite appreciate, which is make the safe zones unsafe, and that's why he did the toilet scene.
And
I really like that, because I love getting scared of these things. I mean, I don't scare that easily. I startle very easily, but I don't scare that easily outside, and it always really bugs me, because when they know I'm not scared, they don't attack me as much. I'm like, no, please do.
Try and get me.
The people who I've noticed do get scared go to safe zones. Like, they go to the bathroom and go, chill out, and he made that not safe.
Yes.
He made that as terrifying as the outside, and I really like that. I thought that was dead clever.
Definitely. It just gives the whole sort of element of this whole place, once you've gone through that security section within the whole of Hellfest, nowhere is safe.
Yeah.
It gave a whole, like I said, it gives a proper haunt festival style feel to the whole film. And that's my main enjoyment part of it. Like I said, I was probably a little bit too mean when I was doing my quick review straight after the film, my rough cut. But the visuals of the film, the fact that nowhere's safe, it's all scary. You know, even if there wasn't a killer on the loose, I'd probably quite enjoy this film just for the visuals of it, or the fact that this looks like an awesome haunt that I'd want to visit myself.
I mean, he got that vibe down so well. Definitely. I mean, literally, I was sitting there just last night going, I want to be there,
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Definitely.
I have to be there.
Definitely. And, you know, fingers crossed there's a second, whether or not there will be, who knows. But anyone listening to this podcast has any information on that potentially, always let us know on our socials, which I'll let you know about at the end of the episode. But I think that covers it from all my points, Dan. Is there anything else that I've sort of missed out that you wanted to point out about Hellfest?
No, I mean, if anyone's... Because I know you don't really like horror films.
You know what? I'm just a pussy. I'm just like, and don't get me wrong, I'll watch them. I've just watched all four Insidiouses over the last sort of 3 days, like,
nice.
And Hannah's a huge fan of horror films and whatnot, but I'm just a bit of a wuss when it comes to horror films, which surprises people when I tell them what I do for a hobby. So
well, the thing is, I've noticed a lot of that watching haunt documentaries. A lot of people are like, oh, no, we know, they're not horror films. Ugh, horrible. Like, why would you do that? It's weird how similar they are, but how distant. And that's what I was going to say. If you like haunts, I'm not sure the age range of this podcast, but I've heard, I don't know the numbers, but it's pretty bloody big. It's the American ones talk about.
Yeah.
I actually heard one American podcast saying, oh, it's one of the big ones.
Yeah, which is
scared
nice.
I was like, I'm so telling my thing. But like, if you're into haunts and you want to get into horrors, then watch this.
Yeah.
If you're into horrors and you want to know what haunts like, watch this. It's a very nice double gateway.
I agree with that. Film. Yeah, absolutely. And you're completely right. I went to HorrorCon a couple of years ago, a big convention for people who love horror films and things like that. And there was actually a pop-up scare event, a little scare maze run by Faces Ventures. We both know Lee and Sarah and whatnot. And the amount of real hardcore horror nerds, you know, these people, they loved it. They got all the like real close friends of mine were there as well, who have Frankenstein tattoos and really into their horror, best kind of people. I asked them about scare mazes, and a lot of them went, "What's that? What's a scare maze? I don't. What's a haunt?" And
hence UK Haunted.
Yeah. Watch this film. But it's similar to you. You know, it's the opposite way round. As such, like, they know all about scary films and horrors, and they've got T-shirts of Frankenstein and Ghostface, and they're proper. You know, it's a proper haunt community. But a vast majority of them went, What is a scare attraction? And I'm just the opposite to that. I'm just, I know my scare attractions, but scary films, I'm not as educated in. And I'm a big wuss.
And also, the other thing about this as well is, like, watch Haunt. It's an amazing film. Yes. If you hadn't done Haunts and you watched Haunt, you'd be like, no, not for me.
Yeah.
Not for me at all. If you watch some of the ones which weren't so haunt-centric, which were based around haunts, you'd be like, oh, it's just one of those things that they scare you. This one does get the vibe and the feel of a haunt, and especially a haunt that's done with care and love. It gets that vibe so well, and like the big haunts, like, you know, Halloween Horror Nights style haunts, it really gets that. So this is definitely the one to watch.
Yes, yeah, I agree with that, definitely. And I think that's a perfect way to end this sort of movie review, really. Hellfest, like I say, it's visually really impressive. It's got a cool killer. There's some nice death scenes in there as well. Hellfest 2018. Like I said at the beginning of this episode, it's easy. It's on Netflix if you're here in the UK. Around the world, it's quite easily found as well. So, a thumbs up from myself and Dan. But some people might say that I'm being a hypocrite now. But no. Go back and watch my YouTube thing.
You can change your mind.
Well, I mean, I think everything I said was still legit. Like, they are annoying teenagers. It's more of an observation than a critique as such. They are annoying teenagers, and I'm kind of glad they died. Which, I'm not going to use that as a soundbite, but I think we both agree on that, and like you say, it just makes you, as a haunt horror fan, makes you think, ah, this guy is doing a he's actually doing a service, which again, yeah, would not,
so we can all enjoy,
wouldn't
ourselves.
Stand up in court, but yeah, who knows. But yeah, awesome. I think that covers everything from me.
I do have three fun facts I didn't manage to slip
perfect
in.
Let's go with the fun facts.
Fun facts is, I believe it was I do believe it was 2019. Someone in America actually did a Hellfest haunt.
Ah, nice.
So it was a haunted, I'm not sure where it was. Jess might be able to shout from the other room. No. But yeah, but actually did it didn't do justice what they could have done, in my opinion. But we only did a YouTube walkthrough because obviously we weren't in America,
It was at Six Flags White Water Park in Georgia.
There you go.
Google's my best friend.
Yeah, I do remember they didn't. I don't think they used the killer enough in it, from what I saw.
Right.
But they did have like the hands coming out of the wall. Had a few things, but it was the facade was like the facade. And also, I was watching it again last night. The facade of Hellfest is very similar to the facade on the. On the poster for Haunted Art Scared. So I was wearing a t-shirt last night, and I was like,
ah. Yeah, I thought that.
And I think Haunted Art Scared actually came first.
Did it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point,
actually,
interesting. Yeah.
In the end, where they are running through the haunt and they come across the fake dead end and there's a room full of white masks, mm-hmm. That was the original mask for the other.
Oh, okay.
But it got rejected, thank God, because yes. This is dull. and the director wanted to have the mask in it, because it was a cool mask. So he used it in that room, which is a classic. Everything's dressed in black, including some scare actors with white masks and a bunch of mannequins. I don't know which it is. And the actual mask they did use for the other was based on children's early 20th century death masks.
Oh, wow.
So there you go. A few fun facts.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. Awesome.
Card facts, even.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's, you know, you got to love a little bit of trivia. That, if anyone doesn't take anything from this episode, as long as they take a few of those facts, then, yeah, Dan, you've done your job, facts. Definitely. Awesome. And it's like you say, those little bits just make the film more fun, like you say. And that's why it's always good to check out those special features and things like that on DVDs, that it's something that needs to carry on. I don't know about you, this is going off on a tangent now, but if I have a film, I actually like to own it. I like to have a hard copy. Yep. I like the DVD.
Yep.
I was upset when I threw my tapes away when my VHS broke years and years ago, you know.
Still got mine in the attic. I haven't had the heart to. But the thing is, if you buy a film with director's commentary, you'll watch it three times. You'll watch it once, you'll watch it again with the commentary, and then once you know everything, you'll watch it again and start going, ah.
Makes more sense now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. Some things, it's just good to have that extra bit of info, and then you can enjoy it in different ways and enjoy it more as well, definitely. I might have to do the same. I might have to watch it with a director's cut or something. But awesome. I think that wraps up this episode all about Hellfest quite nicely. Dan, once again, thank you so much for coming on.
That pleasure is always
it's awesome. And then next film, we need to figure out what next film we're going to do. I've done two mini reviews on YouTube for Houses October Built, which is Houses of Halloween here in the UK.
God, I love that. That is one of the influences for UK Haunters, stylistic wise.
Perfect. In which case, I think our next episode with Dan should be about Houses October Built. Again, I'm a big fan of that film and of their second film, Blue Skeleton, as well. So, yeah, it's going to be good. Awesome. We'll talk about that next. And guys, if you do want to check out my instant, they're literally just 5 minute long mini movie reviews, rough cuts of literally as soon as I finish the film, I put a camera in front of my face and I tell you guys what I instantly enjoyed about it. Head over to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/scaretrack. And everyone, make sure you go over and support UK Haunters as well. Instagram, it's I need to double check now. UK Haunters _movie, and then on Facebook it's just UK Haunters movie. So I'll put the links for that below. Dan, thanks for coming on, and we'll chat to you soon.
Cool, catch you later. You're listening
to So there we go, guys. First of all, a huge thank you to Dan from UK Haunters for coming on to the Scare Trap podcast again. He really does know his film, so any movie reviews is always good to have him on the show. And like I said, if you want to check out our other movie reviews that we've already got on our YouTube channel, which is me giving my quick 5 minute instant fire review straight after I watch the film, head over to youtube.com/scaretrack. It'd be awesome to get your subscribe on there as well. It would be awesome if you could also support us on our social media pages. That's where we're most active, and that's where it's great to interact with you guys. We are on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook, and we have just started our brand new Instagram live session. So it's Scaretrack Live, and each and every time we are on Instagram doing a live session, we'll announce it first so you guys can come and watch live and give your questions, and we can answer them live as well. We'll then record it and put it on our YouTube page as well. So all the more reason to be joining us on social media, especially Instagram, and of course subscribing on YouTube and hitting that bell notification so you know each and every time we have a new video. Of course, if you're listening to this on our social, on our website, thank you so much. We really do think our website's starting to come together with lots of stuff now. We've got our scare cams, our podcast, merch, our Patreon. Absolutely everything is now available on our website, www.scaretrack.co.uk. So that brings us to the end of this episode. Once again, a huge thank you for listening. Be safe, stay kind, and we'll see you next time. Bye, guys.